From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlights rationale behind expediting biodiesel program. Chairman of People Consultative Assemblies MPR says Saudi Arabia will try to increase the Hajj quota. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo brought to the fore the basis for expediting the implementation of the biodiesel program until the country could avail the benefits of using B100 or 100% biodiesel. Escorted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo at the launch of the B30 program on Monday explained that it is not sufficient only to have B30 biodiesel. He has ordered the ministers and Pertamina to produce B40 by next year and B50 in early 2021. The head of state spoke of his plan to conduct daily monitoring on the development of the program. The government has at least three reasons behind speeding up the implementation of its biodiesel program. President Joko Widodo explained that the first reason was Indonesia's keenness to seek renewable energy sources and end its dependency on fossil fuel, which in future will become depleted. The development of renewable energy has also demonstrated Indonesia's commitment to preserving planet Earth, producing clean energy by reducing carbon emission and improving the quality of the environment. Chairman of the Indonesian People Consultative Assembly, MPR, Bambang Susatyo, held an honorary visit to meet King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, at Saudi Arabian Kingdom Complex on Monday. After meeting with King Salman, Bambang Susatyo said Saudi Arabian government will increase the Hajj quota for Indonesian pilgrims. Escorted by RRI.co.id, Bambang Susatyo in his written statement on Tuesday explained that King Salman will try to increase the Hajj quota from 231,000 to 250,000 to meet the demands of the aspirations of Indonesian people who considered as their own siblings. Previously, Religious Minister Fahrul Razi is optimistic that Indonesia is able to obtain additional Hajj quota of 231,000 from Saudi Arabian government in 1441 Hijri 2020 AD. Nahdlatul Ulama NU, Indonesia's largest Islamic organization, made a written appeal to China through its embassy in Jakarta to allow Uyghur Muslim and followers of other faith to perform services aligning with their religious beliefs. NU also sought the involvement of religious organization and figures in China in preparing any policy to handle religion-based radicalism, including a policy to decide on the definition and indication of radicalism. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Chief of the NU Central Executive Board, Kiai Haji Robikin M. Has in Malabuh, Aceh Province, on Monday explained that the Uyghur issue in China is not a single but complex issue. Separatism, terrorism and radicalism, as well as the mistake on the part of government authorities in defining radicalism, all add up to the problem. For instance, the Open Campaign for Halal Food has been labeled as radicalism. Moreover, he pointed out that the other fundamental problems bogging down religious adherence is not being able to perform religious service anywhere in China. Coordinating Economy Ministry stated on Monday that Indonesia's government will launch two special economic zones in Batam Island, Riau in 2020, while it waits the Free Trade and Port Zone Regulation revised version. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, the Ministry of Infrastructure Accelerations and Region Development Deputy Wahyu Utomo in Jakarta on Monday explained that the draft revision has been completed and the government awaits the President to ink the document. Once it is signed, the two special trade zones will be operational. While awaiting the revised versions of the government's regulation, the chairman of the Special Trade Development, the Coordinating Minister of Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, had contacted officials and stakeholders to prepare for the launch of two special trade zones in Batam Island. In 2019, the authority approved the construction of two special trade zones, including a maintenance and repair facility for aircraft at the Hang Nadim International Airport and a digital hub in Nong Sa. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The case of three Indonesians being held hostage by the Abu Sayyaf group has moved in a positive direction. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD in Jakarta on Monday said that the development is heading in a positive direction. Two of them are ready to be returned home. He also explained the two hostages have been freed and are currently undergoing medical tests before their return to Indonesia. However, there is still one Indonesian being held hostage. He said that they are still holding one Indonesian hostage and they are being hunted. On Sunday, the government of Indonesia and Philippines rescued two out of the three Indonesians. 91 strategic national projects have been completed in 2019 from the total of 223 projects according to the Presidential Decree No. 56 of 2018, as quoted by Antaranus Agency, Deputy for Coordination of Infrastructure Acceleration and Regional Development from the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Wahyu Utomo, in the 2019 year-end telematic discussion in Jakarta on Monday hopes that at the tail ends of this year, the government can add two more projects to the list. The two projects that will be completed at the end of this year include the road infrastructure and the airport train at Adi Sumarmo Airport in Solo, Central Java, which means the total projects still under construction reach 87%. One of the major projects that have been completed this year is the Palaparing project that connects 34 provinces through optical fiber with broadband networks. The Maritime and Fishery Ministry and the UN Foods and Agriculture Organization, FAO, will develop a low-cost catfish culture in Indonesia after a pilot project in South Sumatra this year yielded positive results. Ministry Aquaculture Director General Slamet Subiakto, in a statement received by Antaranus Agency on Monday, explained that under the Supporting Local Feed Self-Sufficiency for Inland Aquaculture in Indonesia project, the Ministry and FAO will impart training to farmers on the pangasius culture to become self-reliant in producing low-cost, high-quality fish feed. Subiakto explained that the project, costing $257,000, aims to boost the productions of pangasius in Indonesia, one of the largest catfish producers. He believes the self-produced low-cost fish feed will positively contribute to pangasius productions and its efficiency. By increasing the yield, Subiakto expects Indonesia to soon to be able to export pangasius to market in the Middle East, Europe, Asia, and the United States. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Reflection on the Role of Indonesian Women 2019. Indonesia commemorates Mother's Day on December 22, 2019. Unlike Mother's Day in other countries, Mother's Day in Indonesia is commemorated based on the implementation of the first Indonesian Women's Congress held on December 22nd until 25th, 1928. At least 600 women from dozens of women's associations with various backgrounds, ethnic, religion, occupation, and age attended the Congress. Quoting Susan Blackburn's book in Women First Congress, a review, one of the focuses of the Congress, which was chaired by R.A. Sukanto, was that it was time to raise the position of women so they did not have to be busy at the kitchen only. Furthermore, the first day of the first Indonesian Women Congress on December 22, 1928, was used as a reference by the government of Republic of Indonesia to determine the Mother's Day commemoration. The then President Sukarno inaugurated December 22 as Mother's Day through Presidential Decree No. 316-1953. History has recorded the role of women in Indonesian struggle and development in 2019. Indonesian women have played a central role. In carrying out his duties, President Joko Widodo is assisted by five women to serve the position of Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Finance, Minister of Manpower, Minister of Environment, and Minister of Empowerment of Women and Children, including Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy. President Joko Widodo also engages in three young women as his special staff. The role of women in Indonesian democracy is obvious with the election of Puan Maharani Naksatra Kusyala as a Speaker of the House of the Representatives (DPR) for the period 2019-2024. She becomes the first Indonesian woman to be elected as the leader of the legislative body. In the next 5 years, under her leadership, Puan Maharani is expected to improve the performance of the DPR in creating good legislation products and in accordance with the preset time target. Another role played by Indonesian women is in combating corruption. The selection process for the leadership of the Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) was carried out by the selection committee chaired by a woman and two female members. As a result, one woman occupies one of the five KPK commissioners' positions. Indonesia must continue to strengthen the empowerment of its women, because excellent human resources will be bound up for advanced Indonesia. Empowering women today will determine the future of Indonesia. As President Joko Widodo wrote in his Twitter account, the face of Indonesia today and in the future is the face formed by mothers. Women have wide access and opportunities to all services to the nation. Powerful women are a form of advanced Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our Google program. Today in history. Well, we start with the first happening on December 24, 1953, the Tangiwai disaster. The Tangiway disaster occurred on December 24, 1953. The Wangehu River Bridge collapsed when passed by the Wellington to Auckland Express passenger train number 626 at Tangiway in the center of North Island, New Zealand. The locomotive and the first six carriages slipped into the river, killing 151 people. The Investigation Council found that the accident was caused by the collapse of the Tepra Dam near the bridge. The disaster was the worst train accident in New Zealand. Tune into December 24, 1994. Terrorists hijacked Air France 8969. Four Algerian militant groups calling themselves armed Islamic group hijacked a French-owned aircraft. The Air France aircraft was hijacked at the Houri Boudient Airport, Algiers, Algeria. The terrorist group took control of the plane for 2 days. During the time, three passengers on board were killed under hostage. The then French Prime Minister, Edouard Balladur, sent a special French security team to rescue the victims. When the plane reached Marseilles, an ambush was carried out. The terrorists were killed and the remaining hostages were free and unscathed. Well, listener, will end with the event on December 24, 2000, the Christmas bomb attack in Indonesia. A series of bomb attacks struck a number of churches in various regions in Indonesia on Christmas Eve on December 24, 2000. Some areas affected by the terrorist attacks were Batam, Pekanbaru, Jakarta, Sukabumi, Pangandaran, Bandung, Kudus, Mojokerto, and Mataram. 18 people were killed in the bomb attack. The Jamaah Islamic group was blamed as brain behind the attack. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
That was Bila Ku Ingat, sung by Titi DJ. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's glad to get in touch with you with our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the title of My Indonesia today is Indonesia provides grant aid for the return of Rakhine State refugees. While listener Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia Retno Marsudi, along with Secretary General of ASEAN Lim Chong Hoi, has witnessed the signing of the Grand Aid Agreement to Myanmar, which was channeled through the ASEAN Secretariat. The signing was carried out by Luki Al-Firman, Director General of Financing and Risk Management of the Minister of Finance, representing the Indonesian government, and the ASEAN Secretariat, represented by R.N. Michael Tent, Deputy Secretary General of ASEAN for Community and Corporate Affairs. After witnessing the signing of the agreement in Jakarta on Friday, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that President Joko Widodo, at the 35th ASEAN Summit last November, had confirmed Indonesia's readiness to support the resolution of Rakhine State issue. In addition, President Joko Widodo also emphasized the need for progress in the preparation for repatriation. The Minister of Foreign Affairs website, kemlu.go.id, reported that the provision of the grants is Indonesian commitment to support the work of ad hoc support team in facilitating the repatriation of voluntary safe and dignified refugees. Minister Retno Marsudi also stated that in accordance with the agreement, the Indonesian government would provide 7.5 billion rupiah to the government of Myanmar and be channeled and managed by the ASEAN Secretariat through the ad hoc support team. Through the grant support, it is hoped that the ad hoc support team might carry out its work in facilitating the implementation of preliminary needs assessment in a bid to create dialogue and mutual trust with related parties. Minister Rene also explained that ASEAN must work hard collectively to resolve this challenge, continue ASEAN relevance to regional security and peace, and ensure ASEAN contribution to the welfare of its people. Previously, Indonesia had also completed the construction of a hospital in Marautiu, Rakhine State, and was handed over through bilateral channels to the government of Myanmar. In addition to helping improve health access, the construction of the hospital is also expected to be a means in the process of reconciliation for all levels of society in Rakhine State. This grant aid is the first one given to Myanmar by ASEAN member countries outside the bilateral framework. The grant assistance is also part of Indonesia's grant implant in 2019. Previously, Indonesia has also provided some grant assistance to other countries in the Asia-Pacific region, such as Fiji, Nauru, Tuvalu, and Solomon Islands. The total grant amounts to $14.8 million. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Selalu bermimpi tentang indah hari tua bersamamu. Tetap cantik rambut panjangmu, meskipun nanti tak hitam lagi. Bila habis sudah waktu ini, tak lagi berpijak pada dunia. Telah aku habiskan sisa hidupku hanya untukmu, dan telah habis sudah cinta ini. Tak lagi tersisa untuk dunia, karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya.
That was Virgin with Surat Cinta Untuk Starla. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I introduce you Muleng Pekalem Ceremony from Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Listener, when you travel to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, you can choose one of tourism destinations to visit, namely Mount Rinjani National Park. It becomes a favorite tourism object by domestic or foreign tourists. After 1 year, the earthquake hit Lombok. Currently, Mount Rinjani National Park area has been reopened for tourists. Besides enjoying the national beauty, tourists can also watch Muleng Pekalem, a sacred ritual of Hindus. Muleng Pekalem is a ritual to maintain harmony between humans and nature. This ritual is centered on the lake Segara Anak, Mount Rinjani Lombok, which is believed to be a sacred place, a gathering place for the gods, who provide life with natural wealth in Lombok. The Muleng Pekalem and Bumi Suda ceremonies are held every 5 years and are classified as large ceremonies for Hindus on the island of Lombok. Participants who attended were not only Hindu community from Lombok Island, but also from Bali, Java, and Kalimantan. This ceremony is a reflection of the Trihita Karana concept. The concept is based on giving a sacred sacrifice so that the nature is cleansed from evil and humans can live in harmony with the surrounding nature. Before the Muleng Pekalem ceremony began, the Hindu community gathered on the shores of Lake Segara Anak, where a temporary temple had been built as a place for prayer. Listener, the Muleng Pekalem ceremony will usually be preceded by the implementation of the Yajna Bumi Sudha. The Yajna Bumi Sudha ceremony began with a dance for the gods. This ceremony is intended to balance the Alit universe or human world with the great universe. Then, dozens of animals are slaughtered so that the world is peaceful. Then, a number of wild animals are released into the wild so they can breed and create natural balance in Mount Rinjani by sinking valuable objects such as gold, silver, copper, and coins into Lake Segara Anak. Precious metals form in various symbols of hope. Shrimp as a symbol of fertility. Turtles as a symbol of the world. Fish as a symbol of life. While the flakes or slabs of animals and poultry as symbols of the universe. With this sacrifice, the gods are expected to confer rain and fertility in the land of Sasa. That was Indonesian Wonder with the topic Muleng Pekalem Ceremony. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic.
Andai ku bisa bisa berkata sejujurnya. Jangan kau pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Rebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan. Wow, wow.
Just listen to the song entitled Cinta dan Rahasia or Love and Secret, sung by Yura featuring Glenn Fredly. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello there, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and phrases and guiding you to use them in a conversation. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Malam Natal, or in English, Christmas Eve. Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Malam Natal, or in Christmas Eve. At Joko's house, Enda and Tony were discussing Tony's plan to spend Christmas Eve.
Besok hari Natal.
Iya.
Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam?
Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce a phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely Malam Natal, or in English, Christmas Eve. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Kebaktian. Kebaktian, which means service. Pendeta. Pendeta, which means reverend or pastor. Gereja. Gereja, which means church. Hari Natal. Hari Natal, which means Christmas. Besok, besok, which means tomorrow. Nanti, nanti, which means later. Nanti malam, which means tonight. Pergi, pergi, which means to go. Teman, teman, which means friend or friends. Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam, which means what will you do tonight? Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian, which means the pastor invited me to dinner at his house after the service. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta, which means so tonight I will go to the church then have dinner at the pastor's house. In a conversation between Endah and Tony, Dinda asked Tony plan on Christmas Eve by saying, apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Which means, what are you doing tonight? To ask about a plan someone will do, you can say, apa yang akan kamu lakukan? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan? Which means, what will you do? What are you doing? You can add an adverb of time after the expression, such as nanti, nanti, which means later. Nanti malam, which means tonight. Besok, besok, which means tomorrow. Lusa, lusa, which means the day after tomorrow. Hari Minggu, which means Sunday. Minggu depan, which means next week. Example, apa yang akan kamu lakukan besok? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan besok? Which means what will you do tomorrow? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan pada hari Minggu? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan pada hari Minggu? Which means what will you do on Sunday? Example of answer to these questions are, aku akan pergi ke gereja. Aku akan pergi ke gereja. Aku akan pergi ke gereja, which means I will go to church. Saya akan makan malam di rumah pendeta. Saya akan makan malam di rumah pendeta, which means I will have dinner at the pastor's house. Saya akan pergi ke rumah teman. Saya akan pergi ke rumah teman, which means I'm going to a friend's house. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Besok hari Natal.
Iya.
Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam?
Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Jadi, nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta.
That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Bila sudah tak mungkin hasrat cinta menyatu, walau rasa itu masih ada, bahkan telah jadi bagian dalam hidupku. Jangan coba tanyakan.
pesan cinta ini. Hanya engkaulah satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku. Kasih, biarlah cintaku melayang jauh.
Jangan ragu,
akan ku ceritakan pada dunia rasa cinta yang ada. Ketulusan cinta ini hanya engkaulah satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku. Oh kasih, aku melayang jauh. Akan ku ceritakan pada dunia rasa cinta yang ada. Biar badai datang dan mengguncang hati, adakan terhapus cintaku.
That was Hasrat Cinta, sung by Yana Julio. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, today we present you a Malay song entitled Kisah Duka, which will be sung by Toto Syam. The lyrics of the song tell about someone's sad story who is left by his lover. He hopes his lover to be happy. Due to being disappointed, he goes far away to wander. In accordance with the lyrics, music of the song is quite wistful and having slow tempo. Let's listen to the song Kisah Duka sung by Toto Syam. Enjoy the song.
kenangan menjelma teringat kisah duka engkau berjanji sehidup semati saat tiba masanya kau menghilang terasa pedihnya di jiwa mengalir air mata ikutlah perintah semoga kau gembira biar ku berduka selamanya hatiku kecewa ku kan mengembara jauh di rantau berkelana oh, jauh kenangan perintah semoga kau gembira biar ku berduka selamanya hatiku kecewa dan mengembara jauh semoga kau gembira biar ku berduka selamanya hatiku kecewa ku kan mengembara jauh
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku yang memikirkan, namun aku tak banyak berharap. Kau membuat waktuku tersita dengan angan tentangmu. Mencoba lupakan, tapi ku tak bisa. Mengapa? Begini
listener. Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also you can send your email to our email address voi@voinews.id.